Good morning, everyone. Welcome this Sunday morning to Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship. We welcome all those Zoombies that are on Zoom today or online, and we want to open up with the Word of God. One of the things that I've really been meditating on is about the sacrifice of Jesus. And I wanted to mention that, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, there are shadows and shorthand versions kind of that give us a glimpse into the future with Christ, you know, and what he does for us. And so today I want to read in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. And this is the story of when God called Abraham, and Abraham, in verse 1, responds and says, "Here I am." And we know that the Holy Spirit always mentions us by name. It's personal. And we know that it rings true in our spirit when he speaks to us. And our response must be and should be, "Here I am," with a heart like Abraham of obedience and faith. And so in verse 2, it says, "Then he said," this is God speaking, "take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." And so here in the scriptures, this is the very first mention of love, the very first. And it has everything to do with the son, the only begotten son. This was Isaac, we know. But God oftentimes will ask us to lay something on the altar, okay? We know that. And many times it's not a punishment, but rather a test that God wants to see you succeed in. And so here Abraham responds, right? And he offers up Isaac on the altar. Now, today, may the Holy Spirit show us our Isaacs, the things that need to be taken up on the altar. And then again, in verse 8 of Genesis 22, Abraham said, "My son," in response to his son asking where the sacrifice is, he says, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb." Now we see very clearly, looking back at the scriptures, that Abraham was obedient. He had faith. He was going to follow through with Isaac, his only son. Now you guys know he had two sons, right? But this is the son of promise. You know, in the scriptures, it says that God had many sons. He calls the angels sons. He calls the people sons sometimes. But this is the only begotten son of the Father. And begotten infers the fact that that which has been begotten is fathered. We need to be fathered by Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit. We need to be reparented many times as we walk with the Lord because of where or how things have happened or we've experienced in our lives, right? There is such a thing as the father wound, right? And so we want the Lord to provide for us experientially, because it's already been done at the cross, right? Here's the Lamb of God. And we will look at, again, John 1, verse 29. This was about John the Baptist, when Jesus was coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the provision and the sacrifice for all that we need every day, every moment from beginning to end of our lives. All the world, not just us, all the world. And so when we think of ourselves in the sacrificial way where God requires something of us, and how many of you know that God is in the business in this day and hour to require something of you to grow, right? That we have to decrease so that he may increase, because we cannot hold both things all the time within ourselves. We must have more of Jesus. We must have more. And so the story of Abraham as it goes is that he so believed God that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would raise him up from the dead. Now we know that is a picture of the very thing that happened with Jesus at the cross. That he died, he was the provision of the Lamb for our sin, for all eternity. How awesome is that? It's awesome. No one in the scriptures in verse 18 of John has seen God at any time. He's the immortal, invisible God, the only begotten Son who is the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. So Jesus is representing the fatherhood of God. And we must do away with all our misconceptions of what a father is and see that Jesus is the very mirror and image of what our godly heavenly Father is. So today, as we take communion, we take it soberly, but we take it with joy. As we worship the same, we must decrease. He must increase. Amen. Jesus, we thank you that you have made every provision of grace at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you today. Lord, may our worship reflect the adoration of the Spirit that is within us. May you make a way through all the impingement of our souls that want to dominate, and may the Spirit freely move as we gather together and exalt your name together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church. God's good, isn't he? All the time. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I'm going to share just briefly, you know, as I was reading and just going through the word, I came upon Jesus being the bread, you know. And I started thinking about bread. I love bread. There's a bakery in Rochester. It's called Give Thanks. He was a believer. He sold it recently, and they've expanded to Royal Oak and that. But they are a European-style bread and bakery. And their bread is just phenomenal. And, you know, I started thinking about bread and my own attraction to bread. And then I started thinking about bread through the ages, through the cultures. And I looked up a fact about the history of bread, you know, before we look at Jesus being the bread. The earliest piece of bread was unearthed by an archaeologist that was 14,000 years old. 14,000 years. A little crumb of bread, when they analyzed it, shows that bread has had a vast history in mankind. That goes back to early Egyptian days, where, ironically, as I was reading, they made bread from barley, and they had it with beer. They drank beer and had bread 14,000 years ago. Beer's been around a long time too, but I don't want to get into beer. Okay? I want to stick to the bread. So, you know, the essence of bread tells me it's a significant part of our diet. What helps us nutritionally. Now, I'm not talking about Wonder Bread. But when you go to a good bakery, like Give Thanks, and you get good crusty bread with seeds and flax seeds and all that, oh, it's just, there's nothing like it. Well, they showed a picture of the earliest bread made from barley, and it was like a sponge. It was super thick, and they saw it as the basis for their nutrition was bread. So we turn to the Lord, you know, he proclaims to be the bread of life. And so we look at the comparison and we just think, okay, bread is an essence of our nutrition and our daily life. So is the Lord. I'm going to be reading in John, and, you know, we see on the heels of him feeding 5, 10, 15,000 with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, you know. And anyway, the disciples get in the boat, Jesus meets them, all that happens, and they get to the other side in Capernaum, and there's all these people waiting because they heard about the miracle of Jesus. And he looks at them, and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you," this is in John 6, 26. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Imagine the crowds waiting on the other side. They heard the boat was coming and Jesus was on the boat. And where were their hearts? What were they looking for? Man, I missed out on the feeding. Bread, we love bread, right? And then Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Now, even declaring that, they didn't know who he was. Even the disciples at that point in time, they followed him. They loved him. They're seeing the miracles, but they still didn't have a hold on who he was. The bigness of God, right? This morning, as we worshiped, you know, we get overcome at times of the bigness of God and how good he is, how magnificent he is in our lives. David said in the Psalms, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? As for me, I will praise the Lord." We all are in that situation. We get downtrodden. We get heavy by our circumstances. But we got to remember how big God is. And he never leaves us. Then they said to him, verse 28, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that..." I mean, really. Again, they just saw so much. And they say to him, "What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Come on. Have I not done enough?" Right? "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses didn't give you the bread." Jeez, what are you thinking? "He didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." They just didn't know. Are we in that place today? Lord, we've been waiting and waiting for the answer to come. Waiting, as I'm always declaring, God, you're going to have the final word. When you speak, everything is laid low. How long, Lord? And the disciples were the same way. Give us this bread, Lord. And he said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out, for I have come down from heaven. I mean, could he be more specific, right? They're looking for a sign, and they're not listening. Sometimes we don't listen. You know, we're looking for the Lord. Come on, Lord, come on, Lord. And we're not listening. That is us. Heal our hearts, Lord. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then, of course, those not listening, the Jews then complained because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down from heaven? You know, sometimes we look at the obvious and we miss the greater picture, don't we? Amen. Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur, don't complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. It is written. It is written. He speaks to the Jews. It is written. You search the scriptures for me, and yet here I am before you, and you don't listen. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. He repeats it again. It's believe in me. Believe in me. Yes. Don't miss the obvious. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. So much for Moses bringing bread, right? He had to correct him. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that no one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, Jesus said that on purpose. He made a transition from being the bread to eating his flesh. Now, we know what that means. We partake all of him. Flesh and blood consume all of him. We don't take part of Jesus. We don't take the scripture out of context, you know. We take all of him. Well, that blew the Jews' mind. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna, and now they're dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying." It's a hard saying to hear. Who can understand it? How can we make sense of this, Lord? And then the Lord said to him, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have come, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That shudders me. Saints, there needs to be a reverence and an awe that we are willing to partake of all of him. And the desire in our hearts has to be, Jesus, you and you alone. That one statement, many went back and walked with him no more. They could not handle the truth. They couldn't handle the truth. They were blinded by their own complaining, quarreling among themselves, unbelief. May today, as we partake, let's partake of his flesh and his blood. Take all of him. And we proclaim, as we do that, that Jesus, you are sufficient. You are the supply. Thank you for your supply. And we thank you for who you are. Lord, we're not going to walk away. Help us, Lord, not to walk away. Help us to embrace the truth, Lord, the truth of who you are, what you did on that cross. As we look upon you and what you did, what you accomplished, Lord, for us, we say, Lord, have your way with us. Holy Spirit, judge our hearts. As our sister got up and repented today, Lord, we repent for unbelief, for not listening to you and missing the obvious, Lord, of who you are and what you've done in each of our lives and what you're about to do. Come, Lord Jesus, for we believe you said it. It is done. And we thank you. Let's partake. Amen. And now the blood, Lord, the very essence of life that runs through our veins, we need more of you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will use me as you put this word together in me, that you will spread it out among our brothers and sisters so that it will hit home and it will touch the areas in their lives that you desire to. Lord, I just pray that as hard as it hit me, it will hit them to show who you really are. Have your way, Lord, this day, Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to just say today is going to be, I'm going to ask some questions, but the questions are for you to ask yourself. I don't need an answer, just to ask yourself so that when you on your ride home or when you get home and watching a football game, no, these questions that I have are going to come back to you because these are the questions that came to me that made me take things a little bit further than just the surface. Jesus, he ain't no surface God. Amen? Come on now. He ain't no surface God. You at home, he ain't no surface God. And we have to get off the surface to see him. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is spirit. It's nothing fleshly about them. So, we have to get into the spirit realm, which the spirit realm is here. Flesh realm, spirit realm. What's the difference? You gotta go a lot deeper to get to the spirit realm. This is right. Why? You wanna see something flesh? You wanna see something flesh? How did I know that chair was gonna hold me? But if I can't see that chair, does it mean that it's not a chair there? Not in the spirit world? Because we don't go by what we see. We don't go by what we see. We go by what the spirit says to our hearts, where our spirit man is. So now I got you looking at this thing the way God expects us to. Let's go to Matthew 14 real quick. Now, Pastor Philip, I thank you so much for that beautiful communion message. Because see, it showed me that God was dealing with you about something somewhere else, and he was dealing with me about something that's so similar. Let's go to verse 22. When you have it, say amen. And watch this. Now this is just a little precursor to the message. But God gave me this when I came and sat down. And I'm like, wow, then Philip got up. And so I said, I got to give this. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed. This is funny. Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Now, hold on. This is funny to me. He set them up. He does us the same way. He set us up. He let us get in sticky situations to see what we're going to do. Trials and tribulations are norm for us, and he uses them. Here's a trial right here. He just wanted to see how the education of Jesus Christ was going in them. He does the same things to us. Watch this. And when the disciples saw him, he went to him walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now, wait a minute. This Jesus that just sent you over here, he just told them, go on and go to the other side. Let me disperse these 4,000 or 5,000 people. They were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. How many of us, soon as we get into trouble or temptations, we start cussing? I'm being real. Our flesh, that's what our flesh wants to do. We throw our head down. We get mad, especially at the traffic signals. Man, I could have made this. I'm going to be late. You got people driving, cutting in and out. Look at that idiot. See, that's me. I'm still being delivered from that. I'm just got to be honest with you. Man, because people that's not of the Spirit, anything goes. Let me get to the message. Watch this. They was crying out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And now watch this. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Watch this. But when he saw the wind, he saw it. He saw the waves raising up. He saw the boat going crazy. He took his eyes off the Lord. His faith was tried. See, Peter was one that would speak out before thought. His faith was tried. This what let Jesus know they wasn't there yet. Watch what he says. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? The reason why he sang wasn't because of the storm. It was doubt that sunk him, that started to make him perish. Let me tell you something, people. Faith and doubt don't run together. You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. Doubt is a deal breaker with Jesus, with God, with the Spirit. It's a deal breaker. You got to be careful not to get over that doubt. Doubt is a deal breaker, and it will kill your faith. We are justified by faith. That's what makes us right. Okay, hold on. Let's go to 2 Kings real quick. Chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to stay on course. I'm trying not to get excited up here. 2 Kings chapter 4. What's this? We're going to start in verse 8. Now I'm going to read this on down. This is one of my favorite faith scriptures. I got two or three of them, but this is really one of them. 2 Kings 4, verse 8. When you have it, say amen. Now watch this. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. This woman, she had it going on. She had finances. She had her spiritual life going in the right direction. She helped people, looked out for people. She was a great woman. You very seldom see this placed in the Bible like this. She was a great woman. Watch this. And she constrained him to eat bread. Eat. I got bread. Eat. I want you to eat. Eat with me. And he did. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Hold on. She got some kind of spiritual depth here. She ain't just a woman. As well off. Because you don't just perceive that a prophet is in your midst unless he bless you. Watch this. 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. She already is picking up in the spirit realm. Something is going to go on. You got to see this. Sometimes, here's one of the questions. Don't the Holy Spirit show you something before it happens? You be like, man, I knew it. He can tell you about somebody at work. He can tell you about somebody on your block. He will tell you. That's the part I want you to see. Get to the part to where the Spirit starts showing you things on a daily basis. Quit being satisfied with just walking in the flesh everywhere, going and coming. I asked Neil when he was here. We had a meet. And this had been really, really kind of agitating me. And I said, how do I stay in the spirit realm? Because I get tired of always being in the flesh because I'm fighting. Some days I come home, I don't even eat dinner. The enemy is always, listen, his main thing that he wants out of you is your faith. He want to kill your faith, he want to steal your faith, and he want to destroy your faith. Because if he doesn't, he got you. So I'm fighting at work, spiritually now. The thoughts, you can't control them. That's your part of your flesh. But if you get over in that spirit realm, it cuts that off. I asked him, Neil, how do I stay in the spirit realm? He said, pray in the spirit. And listen, it's beautiful when he told me that. Because I knew that was going to help my problem. And it did. And when I started doing it, it was only been a couple of weeks ago that he was here. He started backing me off certain people at work. And he said, listen, I need you to back up from them because these people have been on the same level for 10, 11, 12 years. You at another level, they're talking the same thing. You don't need to be around them. You don't need to be hearing it. You need to hear what the Spirit is saying. I said, thank you, God. And I saw the difference. Just as I started to back up, I started hearing God a little more. I started getting a little more revelation. People, God wants you to submit to the spirit realm, not the flesh. Okay, hold on. Let me get back to where I was at. Where did I stop at? 10. Okay, yep. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Now watch this. This is, man, I fall in love with God. The more I read, I fall more and more in love with him. Because what he's been saying to me for years is starting to make sense. Watch this, 12. And he said to Gehazi, was one of his servant, his companion, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. This woman cared for them. She looked out for them. She fed them, made sure they was comfortable, made sure they had what they needed. See, God set her up good. He set her up good. He's trying to set you up good too. He is. Listen to me. Ask her. She's been careful with all the care. What is it to be done for thee? What is thou to be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she have no child, and her husband is old. Now listen, if y'all been studying about Elijah, how in the world did Gehazi pull something out of the spirit like that? From impartation. Just from being around him. Because if you watch Gehazi over in another instance, remember when the guy came and he had all the clothes and raiment and they told him to go and wash himself in the River Jordan? And then he got this idea, I'm going to run, and Elijah won't take he won't take the new suits, and he won't take money and this and that, but I'm going to get it. And before he even got there, the Holy Spirit showed Elijah that Gehazi loved. But it's the same guy. Watch this. Let's keep going. Watch this. 14. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Okay, he said, she don't have a child, but she have a husband that's old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. This is crazy. She didn't even answer. She didn't answer. Gehazi answered. And she, watch this. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son after a season, about a year. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out with his father to the reapers. He's probably about 16, 17, I'm thinking. Maybe even younger. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. So he had one of the people out there helping to help him get home. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother. He sat on her knee till noon and then died. Wow. This woman wanted this child. And then he died? A young man hadn't even experienced life yet? Would that shake you up? But it didn't shake her. Listen to me. Listen to me. Quit getting shook about things that go on in the earthly realm. You can't let it shake you. The thing the enemy wants to do is the reason why some of the stuff is happening is because he wants you to start speaking negative words that go against faith, so it can start to cancel out the things that God already said is yours for you to get them. He don't want you to understand the promises. He don't want you to understand the principles. He wants you to speak negative. Don't do it. Don't. Quit telling people. If it's something hurting inside of you, you get in the spirit and you pray about it and you begin to speak the word of God over whatever it is that's hurting you. Jesus died for your healing. He died for diseases. He died that you won't be broke. You got to understand, he did all of that. And I'm going to prove it to you. Watch this. All right, where we stop at? Watch this. She said, 19. And he said unto his father, my head. And she said, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him into his mother. He died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Listen to me. She didn't freak out. Get off the phone. Girl, you ain't going to believe what happened. You talking to somebody that's a sinner and don't believe anyway. Why you calling them? You need to be calling somebody that's going to believe with you. Come on, y'all. God is doing it. He wants us to start displaying his power and his authority right here on earth. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. She didn't even speak a word of it. Listen to me. The bad things in your life, that's between you and God. Quit talking to people that can't help you. If you're going to start speaking anything, get in this Bible and find out what it says about your situation. You got to remember, you are already the righteousness of God. When you said, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, you became righteous. You ain't a sinner no more. Find out who you are. You can find out who you are. God, Jesus took care of that sin for you. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you can't ask him for this. You can't do that. You did this. He already paid the price. She knows it. She knows it. She didn't get to talking crazy. She said, I'm getting ready to go. Watch this. Faith. You got to believe. You got to say it. And then you got to act upon it. You got to believe it in your heart. God got me on this. You got to say it with your mouth. And then you got to act on it. She did. Watch. 24. Then she sat on an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Watch this. So when she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass that when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, my servant, behold, wander, it is the Shunammite. Wait a minute. How do you see her afar off? Normally, God, when you're a prophet, God normally includes you in on some things. But let me tell you something today. He ain't going to show you everything. He ain't going to show you everything. He said, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it your husband? That tells you right there he didn't know. Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. She didn't say he was dead. She said it was well. She in the spirit realm. She, oh my God, her child just died. She in the spirit realm. She ain't talking crazy. God been dealing with me about this stuff. All that stuff I used to care about, I don't even care about it no more. Oh, don't nobody come and see you, Bert. Good. Because God probably going to have a word for them, and it may not be pleasant. I don't care. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm taking care of my responsibilities. I got to beg everybody to come see me. Or to see what God blessed me with. Because that ain't all they gonna see. You gotta understand, you are a delegate of Christ. You're a delegate. You're like an ambassador that goes and gives off a word somewhere. You are precious. Watch this, 27. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. He picked up on it quickly. And the Lord hath hid it from me. And have not told me, because he was trying to see what she was going to do. Every step of this thing I'm reading now was a test on her. Oh, man, get it. Get it. Your faith is the most important thing to you. Because it says over in Proverbs, life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's up to you if you're going to speak life to your situation or death to. Oh, God. Don't shout me down. Don't shout me down. See, I'm talking about things that happen to us every day. Then she said, Did I desire a son, my Lord? She flipped this thing on him. She didn't ask for a son. Though she wanted one, they read her heart. See, the prophetic would allow you to read somebody's heart. Oh, we going there. That's why I'm preaching this. We going there. But we ain't going to get it if I don't preach on faith. I got to preach on faith so I can get it. I want the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, I need that. How can I get that? I got to have faith first. See what I'm saying? How am I going to walk and how am I going to go and do what God wants me to do without faith? You got to move in faith. Make faith your best friend. Watch this. 29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. Wow. Watch this. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Now the staff had power in it. Listen to this. He gave it to Gehazi. He said, go before me. He probably praying before he get there. Gehazi laid that staff on that child. And it started producing life in him. They could have went in there and said the wrong thing. That kid would have died. But he didn't. He kept it going the way the woman set it up. Faith. Watch. And the mother child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Watch this. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went up again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And then Elijah was come into the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Ha! Yeah. See, it's starting to happen. See, that's the power prophets have. This is the Old Testament. Because Jesus hadn't came yet. See what I'm saying? But watch. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself. He was pacing. He was pacing. He said, Lord, he praying. Lord, we got to get this kid back alive, man. Come on, come on. My staff didn't do it. It didn't do it. It didn't happen. Come on, Lord. He paced back and forth. Okay. He said, and he stretched himself upon him. I'm in 35. And the child sneezed. 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. This woman's faith saved her son. Lisa, let me tell you something. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Increase in prayer. Increase in your studies. God got something for you. Why do you think that tax is so hard? He got something for you. He does. Gotta understand. God wants us doing the same things. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Watch this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy. Watch this. Verse 12. You got to say amen. I'm going to start in 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fruit of the Spirit. He said, follow after that. 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Listen to me. You gotta profess faith. That's what triggers it to move. Your profession and confession. Let me read this again. Fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because Satan is coming at you to steal it, wants it. Do you know why Satan wants it? He couldn't have it anyway. He didn't get it. He came up with some old cockamamie idea to usurp God and got cast out. He was a spiritual being already. He couldn't get it. It was a man to get. Oh, now you understand why the fight is so hard. He want to steal your faith so you can't be blessed. That's the good fight. And every day, and watch this, though we may sin every day, that's an enemy too. Oh, you shouldn't have said that to her. Man, you know, and then you start walking around. Oh, man, I this thing too hard. I can't do it. I can't. And then the next thing you know, you ain't reading, you ain't going to church, you ain't studying, because you've been speaking it out your mouth. Jesus already paid for that. I don't care if you sin 1,000 times a day. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, keep you on the right path. It hurts. It gets a little disheartening, but he already paid for it. So why are you trying to pay for it or feel bad for it? I'm not giving you a license to say go out here and just do whatever you want to do. Fight the good fight of faith. Watch this. Mark 11. We're going to start in verse 20. We're going to go from 20 to 26, Mark 11. Now watch this. Watch this right here. Now I put these two on here. Well, I didn't do it. It was the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 in Mark 11. I put these on here. Because I want to ask you a question. This woman ain't a woman that had herself together. This woman got an issue of blood. This woman is supposed to stay away from folks. Come on now. This woman is supposed to stay away. But I'm showing you the difference. The other woman didn't speak nothing. Contrary to what she knew, she wanted God to do. But watch this woman. This woman spoke what she wanted God to do out. Was she reading and studying all the time? No. But But watch what it said. I'm going to start in verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said, have faith in God. What is he saying? Have faith in God. Who gave the power to Jesus to be able to curse that tree? God did. What is he telling us? You have faith. You got it. He's telling us that we have it. He's telling us God is waiting for us to start exercising things. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, listen to this, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever, who is a whosoever? Guess what? But this works for somebody that ain't even serving God. This whosoever will work for them. If they get the principles, this is a law right here. I'm reading to you all. It's got to happen. It's a law. This is a spiritual law. Watch. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's where God wants you to believe, your heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith, what did I just say a minute ago? You gotta say it. You gotta believe. You gotta speak. And then you gotta act on it. You gotta get, guess what he wants you to quote? Guess what he wants you to say? The word. He don't want you to say any old word. It's not gonna work. You gotta say the word of God. Oh, man. Listen, God just gave you a principle. Start doing it. Start speaking it. Speak it, speak it, speak it, because one day it's going to happen. Don't nobody got no gauge of how long it's going to take to get. Well, yeah, you should get yours in 6 months. You back there should get yours in a year. Just keep speaking it. No! It's when God is ready to release it. Listen to me, man. I just moved in this house, and God showed me another house. Tell you, an elder out there, man, God showed me a house like y'all's. I was like, Lord, what am I going to do with what am I going to do with that big old house? He said, live in it. But he raising my faith. Believe for it, bird. Believe for it. He's raising my faith. See, where God is trying to get you to, he's going to keep digging at you and digging at you and digging at you. You just gotta believe. I just got comfortable with this one. Like, Lord, thank you for this house. I appreciate it. The point of the matter is God got something for you, but he's always going to stretch you. Oh, come on. He's going to stretch you. He's trying to get you to a place to where you can speak it out. And it comes to pass. Why? You just like him. Oh, man. 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It says, whatsoever ye desire when you pray. You got to be believing when you're praying for it. You can't wait. You got to believe it when you pray. Oh, yeah. See, this thing is designed so the enemy can't get a toehold on it. This ain't to deceive you or have you off. Study and pray and look over that thing and pray over that thing and pray over that thing and pray over that thing, and God is going to show it to you. The reason why I'm a natural. Listen, God gave me the gift of encouragement. And I cannot preach without encouraging. I can't. And sometimes the stuff he had me preach about, he ain't even did it in my life. I'm up here encouraging myself. Come on. I'm encouraging myself. I'm trying to get it too. But one person get it, another person get it, another person get it. Then it's going to start happening all through the church. Okay, let's end this, and then I got a couple more scriptures. Now watch what he's saying, 25. This right here, it threw me for a loop. Because I'm like, hey, God, why would you say such good things in the first couple of verses, then start talking about forgiving? Then he said, and when you stand praying, forgive. Deal breaker. This another one. Unforgiveness cancels out faith. That's why I was telling you, remember me and Dion, we made up everything is cool again. But I wasn't gonna let that rattle me. I told him on the phone, I said, man, I'm not canceling out my blessings. Because if I don't forgive you for what you're saying on the phone now, it stops. As long as I hold on to it, nothing coming to me. Maybe something. Or something there. No, I want some big things. Unforgiveness will cancel out faith. I don't care how hard you believe. See, I'm giving you something. Especially, oh wow, Holy Spirit, okay. He said, especially if it's your husband or your wife. It will shut your whole house down. Gotta forgive quick. Why? Because he forgives you every day. Sometimes 70, 80 times a day. See, God sees you here, and God sees you here. Here is where you begin. But guess where God is looking at from? God is looking at you from the end. Oh, come on, man. God is looking at you from the end. He already see where you at. Why you think he be when the enemy be trying to throw this in there and throw that in there, he's sending his ministering spirits, go help her. Go block that thing from happening. I love you, God. I love you. Because, see, this stuff is helping me. It keeps me in line. It keeps me in line. Watch this. 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. and your faith ain't going to work. I didn't write the scriptures. Okay, let's go to, well, no, no, here the questions are. Here the questions are. Where did her faith come from in this passage? What did it say? He said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. But guess what? Watch this. He said, be thou removed and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said will come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Her faith came from the word. She was hearing and hearing. It says, faith come by hearing. And what else? And hearing, keep on. And hearing, 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 and hearing. You can't say, I heard that. It ain't going to work. Well, I heard that. I heard Pastor Bird preach that. It ain't going to work. You got to keep hearing it till it starts to resonate with your spirit. All right, let's wrap this up. It's a good day, ain't it? Ain't a good day? How much faith? Let me see. How much faith do you think the woman had over in the situation with Elisha? How much faith? Okay, watch this. Let's go over to, thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch this. Let's go over to Mark 5 in verse 25. Have it, say amen. I got a few minutes. Watch this. 25. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. This lady was wealthy. She seen all kind of doctors. Well, I'm not necessarily wealthy, but she had money. When she heard of Jesus, somebody told her about Jesus. Somebody said, man, it's a dude. I know he can heal you. And she was like, yeah, but I can never get close. I can never get up there. She was like, go. Setting the stage here. And then she probably started thinking about it. Watch what it said. 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had, and there was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Somebody told her about Jesus. What got this woman this miracle was what? Yep. Okay, that's one. Okay, hold on, Faith. Hold on. But what did I say about 20 minutes ago? She believed, she spoke it, and she acted on it. Watch. So whatever word she heard, it could have been a little bit, but she believed it. Watch what it said. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, people all just touching and grabbing on them. But watch what really happens here. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out, Jesus, listen, man. Jesus said, hey, who touched me? All she did was touch the hem. It pulled that miracle. This woman was hungry. She was hungry for a blessing. She was determined. That's how we have to be. We got to be determined that we gonna do what the word says. We got to be. You got to get in here. You got to learn it. You got to listen to it. Listen to me, man. You got all kind of pastors and preachers online, on your phone. Man, listen, since I got that TV out of my room, I listen to them going to bed. I listen to them at work. I listen to them going to work. I listen to them coming home. I'm consuming myself with the word because I'm going to lay my hands on people and they're going to be healed. I'm speaking it out. I'm speaking it out. I ain't scared. I'm speaking it out. It's got to happen, especially people in wheelchairs. That's the boldness God wants you to have. You got to be bold. I ain't just talking, y'all. I'm at work laying hands on folks. On the streets laying hands on folks. It's going to happen. But guess what? You got to exercise it. You got to. You ain't going to never get better if you don't. If you sitting there waiting on him, I'm waiting on you, Lord. Oh, when you going to give it to me? Man, stop it. He said, who touched my clothes? And disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging me, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I've been trying to get to you. I've been trying for a month, 2 months. You don't say how long it's been. But people would always jump in the way, knock her down, push her back. That's how this time she was saying at home. Listen to me, y'all. Thank you, Holy Spirit. She was at home saying, I'm going to touch him. I'm getting him this time. I'm getting it. She was determined. You got to be determined to get out of your situations and circumstances that's holding you back from being all you can be. This word of God ain't no joke, man. Watch this. And then he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. But guess what? I looked up whole. Whole means every area in her life was fixed. She got money back. Her family was restored. Every area of her life was restored just off her believing to get rid of this issue of blood. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Have faith in God is having faith in what God said to do. I never thought God wanted to do this with me. And then when I did get it, I'm like, Lord, man, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to really get this thing, man. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. I know this thing ain't play, because ain't nowhere in the world God would have gave me revelation about this if he didn't want me to use it. People need help. All right, let me wrap it up. Now, Romans 10:17. It's just two more scriptures and we out. Let's go to Romans 10:17. I should read this whole thing, but let me see if I can get, I don't know. My heading here says righteousness by faith in Christ. You righteous already. You righteous. You righteous. You can't get no more righteous than you already are. Xavier, you righteous. You got to hold on to that. You righteous. You righteous, Zion. You right, Minister Carolyn? You right, Miss Randy? You righteous. You got to understand, man. You got to walk this thing out. Oh, hallelujah. Man, every day I be getting up in the morning, man. And how you feeling these 59-year-old aches and pains? But guess what? I be like, in the name of Jesus, you die for this. Going to work, and guess what? By the time I get to work, I'm ready to work. Because I put the Lord on them. Because you said I'm healed. Your word said I'm healed. Your stripes say I'm healed. And get you better believe I'm speaking it to. I'm on the expressway by your stripes. I am healed. And I seem to be looking a little younger too. I was looking in the mirror. I was like, man. You're looking a little younger here, Blair. Look at you. God doing it. I wish he'd do something with this gray right here. I might be able to get me one about 30, 35. You know? No, I'm just joking. I'm not even concerned with that. I want God to be pleased, so pleased with me that when I leave, listen to me, when God transports me from earth to be with him, that the blessings all fall on my children. That's my prayer. My prayer is, Lord, don't let somebody else get my anointing. Let them get it. And I keep telling them, God gonna give it to you. God got some stuff for you. God gonna do it. Just line yourself up. And I'm so glad my son came today. I'm so glad, because it's so hard when you're a teenager to understand who you are. But mostly your spirit. You tap into it, whole new world opens up. Because the earthly stuff becomes trivial. It becomes trivial. Okay, hold on. Okay, here we go. Now watch this. I'm gonna make this my last one. Okay. Now listen, this is a chapter that I'll never, ever forget. Because when I first ask God into my life. This is the only chapter he would let me be able to read in the Bible. I flipped through the Old Testament, flipped in the back through Revelation. I couldn't get it. And I heard this voice say, go to Romans 10. Romans, what I want to know about Rome for? That's how ignorant of the word I was. And I flipped and got there, and God led me in through these scriptures by myself in a cell in Jackson. And see, guess what? Some people will be like, oh, man, I ain't going to tell that. Don't. I am, because God did it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I thank God for that cell at Jackson, man. I'm trying to tell you. I was a different person then. I was scandalous, y'all. Scandalous. God did a mighty work with me. He did a mighty work with me. And watch how he did it. Watch this. I want to read 6. I'm going to read on down. Let's start in 6. Romans 10, 6. But the righteousness which is of faith. Come on. I'm going to repeat it again. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on the wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Speak it. Believe it. Speak it. Most of the things you believe, you will speak. Come on. Why not believe this? He said, the word of faith which we preach is nigh in your mouth and in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hold on. How is this? How is confessing with thy mouth and believing in my heart going to get me saved? You just told me that confessing with my mouth and believing in my heart is what triggers faith. That's what faith is. Oh, you missed it. Come on. The same thing you did to get saved, you activate faith. Believe it in your heart and speak it out with your mouth. Listen to me, y'all. Y'all are powerful. I'm telling you, you powerful. You got to get an understanding. God didn't leave you to be no wimp. You powerful. You got to start speaking and sharing. You got to start speaking in Mother Joyce over your families. He told me something, man. He said, man, I want my kids. I want them to get with it. He said, listen, man, you might be on your deathbed. He said, as long as they change, as long as they get their heart right and move towards me, I'm going to bless them. He said, you ain't got to see them now. You ain't got to see them doing it now. You ain't got to be being able to pat him on the back. Yeah, son, you're doing good. You're preaching good. Keep going. No, he said, guess what? He said, they can do it when you're on your deathbed. He said, you just got to believe they're going to do it. Let me tell you. Let's go to Romans 1:17 and then we're going to, that's going to be the last scripture. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're justified. You're justified. And all it takes is the mustard seed type of faith. Man, that's all it takes is a month just to believe a little bit. And guess what? You can do the same things Jesus did. See, what happens is Jesus got a chance to exercise working in the Spirit. He got a chance to exercise. That's what you got to learn to do. You got to exercise having the word, knowing the word, remembering the word, remembering what scriptures go with which. And that's when your faith is going to start. Watch the Spirit start telling you, well, go to this one. Go to 2 Corinthians. Now go back over here and go back over there, and you're going to see them scriptures combined together. Man, you can start praying them two scriptures together, man, and your whole world change. You got to start walking around saying, I am the righteousness of God. I don't care what you did. If God don't see sin in you, why should I? I need him to not see it in me. So how am I going to see it in you? Let me say something. Who here? It's somebody here. Where's your faith? Somebody that think your faith is low. Stand up and come up here.